Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Your future is important. Take time to plan for what can go right. Talk to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
The Northern Ireland Secretary, Chris Heaton-Harris, is inside number 10 right now. We'll know soon enough if he's holding on to that job. But we're going to get reaction to events in London now from DUP MP Sammy Wilson. Sammy Wilson, you're very welcome to the programme.
Good evening.
I want to get your reaction to this. The Northern Ireland Minister, Steve Baker, he spent the day in Fermanagh meeting with civil society leaders. Sammy Wilson, listen to the video he posted on social media from inside that meeting this morning, and I'll get your opinion afterwards.
I'm at Fermanagh House, where I've been meeting civil society leaders, and they have been telling me about some of the problems that they face. Now, the reality is, all these good people, all these good ladies and gentlemen behind me, all have got a very similar problem. They need to make progress. They need to know where the money's coming from. All of these ladies and gentlemen have got problems with hundreds of people needing support. In some cases, they've got large numbers of staff who need their pay. And I think they've got a message, a very simple and coherent message for all of the local political parties when it comes to reforming the executive and governing Northern Ireland. What is it? Thank you very much. There, you've got it.
That's Northern Ireland First Minister Steve Baker. Get on with it, Sammy Wilson. Directed at you, I'd say.
And my message to Steve Baker is to get on with it and get the conditions set for a workable executive to be set up. Steve Baker knows more that better than anyone else because he's said it time and time again. I've heard him say it in the House of Commons. I've heard him say it in comments that the obstacle to a working executive in Northern Ireland is the fact that we have the intrusions caused by the Northern Ireland Protocol, the fact that the Northern Ireland Protocol and its outworkings means that unionists' views in Northern Ireland are being totally ignored. The Good Friday Agreement, his own words, has been broken by the Northern Ireland Protocol. So my answer to Steve Baker is, you're the person and your government is the body which has the ability to get the executive back up and running again. Keep your promises.
He knows everything that you've said. He's heard it all before. And he is giving, along with civil society leaders who have an uncertain future because Stormont isn't up and running, he's giving you the message, Sammy Wilson. You have 3 days now to get on with it. Get Stormont back up and running.
And he knows that Steve Baker knows, first of all, the conditions which we have laid down
for won't be met.
Forming the executive. Well, if they're not met, then the deadline of the 28th of October will pass and we will have to have elections. And if we have elections, I have absolutely no doubt that the unionist population who spoke at the last elections will speak with the same voice at the next elections.
And the unionist parties will be flushing £6.5 million down the drain.
Well, that's nonsense.
Well, it's not, because we've had elections. What would be different?
First of all, we'll not be flushing £6.5 billion down the drain. That £6.5 billion will not disappear. The fact of the matter
is, it'll be spent needlessly on the election that we don't need in the North, surely.
Well, and of course, Steve Baker and the government has got the option of not calling the elections and saving the £6.5 million, if that's what they wish.
And saving your skin.
Well, not save our skin. It'll save their skin, because we're quite confident that the unionist population, in fact, are more exercise now about the abuse, the way in which their views have been abused by this government.
How so?
Because they first of all signed a protocol which they said they would never sign. Secondly, they promised to make changes, get changes to it, which they never got. And thirdly, they have recognised that not one unionist supports the protocol in the Assembly, and therefore the Good Friday Agreement, by their own definition, because don't forget, this is what the British government has said, the Good Friday Agreement has been broken by the protocol. So they know what the problem is.
Business leaders, farming leaders, retailers, everyone in civil society now is telling you to get on with it, because they are happy with the protocol. It could be tweaked and negotiations are underway, but that doesn't prevent you, after a democratic election some time ago, to get back in and do what you're paid for.
Well, first of all, I think that probably trying to give a view from Dublin is a bit difficult. I'm giving you a view from Northern Ireland, where the issues are most stark, and I think I understand the feeling of my electorate better than probably a commentator from Dublin is ever going to be able to do.
But I'm asking questions. I'm simply asking questions.
You made an observation there.
Well, it's an observation inviting a response, because I haven't heard a coherent response to why you're taking a salary for not doing your job in Stormont.
Well, first of all, I'm not in Stormont.
Your party, I mean.
You might want to get that right too. But leave aside that the restoration, the arguments for restoration of Stormont, all of those people who are clamouring for the Assembly to be up and running again have got to recognise that, first of all, even when the Assembly was operating, we couldn't agree a budget because the Sinn Féin Finance Minister could not get agreement, not just with the DUP, but with any other party. Secondly, there is no additional money has been made available to the Northern Ireland Executive to do the kinds of things that businesses want. I've heard the list. I mean, they come to see me.
Come on. Doesn't that say an awful lot? The way you frame that point, leave aside the Stormont Assembly for a second. You cannot leave aside a democratic election, because there are people suffering as a result of the housing crisis. There are people suffering in Belfast and in Derry and right across Northern Ireland because of health crises and so on, and other social matters. That they need you and other politicians to get back to Stormont and the executive and do your jobs. Not you, well, I know you're an MP, but right across the Assembly. And you can't give a coherent answer as to why the DUP are taking salaries but not doing their parliamentary work.
Well, we're paid our salaries, not just the DUP. By the way, it's just paid a salary. So again, get this right. All parties, all representatives are given their salary, not just the DUP.
You're the only ones preventing it getting back.
That's the first
thing. You're the only prevention to work.
The second thing is, of course, MLAs do, and I know because my own two colleagues are in their own offices every day, working and doing things. And, of course, ministers have been already carrying out their functions and will continue to carry out their functions.
No parliamentary work in Parliament, no debates, no bills passing through.
Well, all I can say to you is I look at what my own colleague Gordon Lyons has done, and he is, during the period when the Assembly hasn't been sitting, he has introduced measures to help students with hardship. He has introduced money for tourism. He has introduced the allowance for people who need help with their fuel bills.
What new bills have been brought forward in the last three or four months?
There have been no new bills brought forward because, of course, the Legislative Assembly is not working. But, I mean, you're assuming that you would get agreement for those through the Assembly, and our whole point is that because unionists collectively have had their views ignored, the Assembly is dysfunctional.
They haven't been ignored, they've been heard.
No, they haven't been.
No, I think you're mixing up it being ignored and being heard but disagreed with.
No, they've been heard and ignored because no unionist in the Assembly agrees with the protocol, the impact it has on people's cost of living, the impact that it's had on trade, the distortion of trade, the impact it's had on businesses, and the impact, of course, what it has on our standing within the United
Business
Kingdom.
Is telling you to get back into Stormont.
Not all businesses are telling us to get back on.
Who isn't?
Well, I have had plenty of businessmen in my own constituency who have told me to hold out.
Name them.
And not to be giving.
Give me a name.
Not to be giving in. I've told you there are businessmen in my constituency. If you think I'm going to start,
I don't know them.
If you think I'm going to start naming individual businessmen on this,
why not? They support your position, you claim.
Well, they do support my position.
Who are they?
Well, you're calling me a liar.
No, absolutely not, but I'm asking you to stand.
I didn't say you were a liar. Every day I get businessmen who tell me stand firm because our businesses are being ruined by the protocol, and you've got to get the protocol changed. Otherwise, our business is not going to survive.
Can I put this to you, Sammy Wilson? Seems to me now that you're running out of road here in terms of your position? It seems to me that you're running out of road. Your friends in the Tory party are turning against you. They no longer want part of DUP politics and holding the electorate of Northern Ireland to ransom. That's the message that I'm interpreting from what Steve Baker is saying to you this evening, along with civil society leaders. Get on with it. Are you running out of road and friends, I wonder?
Well, maybe you're just selective in the voices you listen to. The Prime Minister today, the new Prime Minister today, has made it quite clear that, first of all, he wishes to see the protocol changed, that he will stand by the Northern Ireland Protocol Bill, which will mean that the government will take unilateral action if we can't get a satisfactory arrangement with the EU. So the Prime Minister is saying, and Steve Baker, in fact, only at the weekend, was saying that if that was not done, that the people he associates with in the Tory party would implode the government. So, you know, don't be selective in the voice you listen to.
You have full faith in Rishi Sunak to stand by the DUP's position, do you?
No, and that's exactly why we will not give up the leverage which we have at present.
What leverage?
Namely, that if the government wishes to see effective government in Northern Ireland again, then they've got to deal with the very issue which is making government dysfunctional.
That's holding people to ransom over a Democrat after a Democratic election, surely.
It was a Democratic election, that's right, and we made absolutely no secret of what our position would be after the election. Mm. We told people exactly what we would do. They voted for us, and we intend to stand by.
Would this happen, Sammy Wilson, anywhere else in the world where a party picks one decision they don't agree with and they refuse to go into Parliament because of it?
Yes, it would. And in fact, you know, this is the funny thing I find. Mm. When Sinn Féin did this over a tawdry Irish Language Act for 3 years,
tawdry.
I didn't hear any criticism from broadcasters in the Irish Republic. Mm-hmm. But when unionists do this because of an action which will undermine our fundamental position within the United Kingdom, suddenly we get this clamour of voices from the Irish Republic.
Well, those interviews did happen. You mightn't have heard them at the time. But I note your description of the Irish Language Act as tawdry. But can I ask you about something you said there that undermines your position in the United Kingdom? That was dispelled in the Supreme Court, that contention.
No, it wasn't.
It was in the McCord case.
No, the government actually in the Supreme Court, in its own defence, said that when the protocol was passed, they had impliedly broken and altered the Act of Union. That was the government's own case.
Whatever the argument was in the Supreme Court, it was held that your position, Northern Ireland's position in the United Kingdom, has not been undermined.
No. The court accepted that the government had the right, and the government accepted, not only accepted, but actually used as their defence, that the reason why the protocol was defensible was because they had impliedly broken the Act of Union, so therefore the internal
and we'll finish on this. Point to me the legal case in the Supreme Court or anywhere else that says undeniably that the Northern Ireland's position within the United Kingdom is diminished in any way because of the protocol. Show me the case.
Well, read the transcript of what the government said in defence.
No, show me the judgment, the case that was held.
The judgment was based on the government's own defence, that the government had not broken the law because they had altered the law.
Which case?
And that was a case which was heard before Justice Conlon.
Okay, and I'll leave you on this. But what's the name of that case? And I'll check it up.
I think it was the case which was taken by Jim Allister, David Trimble, Arlene Foster.
They lost
all
that
these
case.
People in the yes, and they lost it on the basis that the government's defence was that the Act of Union had been impliedly changed when the protocol went through.
I'll have to let you go. We're heading for an election in the north, I'd say, Sammy. Are we?
Well, the government has got an option to make when it comes to the end of the week. Do they extend the current powers or do they go for an election? I'm easy. In fact, I think that an election will simply reinforce the mandate which we have and indeed will make it much more difficult for the government to reach an agreement.
Okay. It's always a pleasure to speak with you. That's DUP MP Sammy Wilson. Thank you very much indeed.